tonight, welcome everybody, and tonight our topic is speak. We are in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 7 to 11, and this is Paul's experience in Corinth. Buddy, would you lead us off with the Lord's Prayer, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, to see our care of the others. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Amen. This passage tonight is the Lord's encouragement to Paul to not fear the danger that awaited him there in Corinth with the resistance and the opposition that he faced in the midst of any kind of opposition to the gospel. We are encouraged to speak, even as the Apostle Paul was here encouraged by the Lord. And speaking is, part of the speaking instruction is to tell about Jesus. Dan, would you sing hymn number 722, The Wonderful Words of Life?
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful words. Wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Thank you. And as it is often dangerous to proclaim the message of the gospel, the instruction from the Word of God, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. And the instruction for God's people throughout all time, whether it was the Old or the New Testament, is to speak the truth, to stand upon His promises, to speak boldly what we believe. Before we turn to this passage tonight, we often commemorate a date in history. And it was August the 2nd, the year 1950, when the communist government of Czechoslovakia issued a proclamation that made it illegal for anyone to preach in the country of Czechoslovakia unless they were consecrated by the state. Any pastor or any priest had to be approved by the communist government before they were allowed to preach. So that meant that the gospel message was compromised because it was filtered through the Communist Party. The efforts by many governments, even increasingly in this country, in the current crisis, in the current health scare, many people have tried to regulate churches. But the penalty in Czechoslovakia was 3 months imprisonment if anyone preached without the communist government approval. We're not there yet here, but many people are concerned that the religious liberty is under attack even in this country. So we need to be on guard. And when the times get dark, the scriptural instruction is that we are to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Dan, would you read this passage tonight? It's Acts chapter 18, verses 7 through 11.
Sing
departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them.
Amen. Thank you. The setting of this particular passage is in the city of Corinth. And this is early on in Paul's time of visiting there. But as it was often Paul's practice that whenever he went into a city, he would meet first in the synagogue. And if he was accepted there, he continued to teach there, to proclaim the gospel message, to explain the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures to anyone who would hear. But frequently what happened in many of the cities that Paul visited, he was cast out by most of the Jews. They held fast to their ritual and their self-righteousness, and they rejected the gospel. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever that happened, even as the disciples were instructed to do, if they were rejected in any city, they were told to shake the dust off of their feet and depart from there and go to wherever they were accepted and permitted to meet. Oftentimes when Paul would leave the synagogue, he would find a place of someone who accepted the message of the gospel very nearby. And here, this is apparently what happened, this man named Justus. It says that Paul departed and he went into a house of a certain man named Justus. Some people confuse him with Titus Justus, who's mentioned in Galatians 2 verse 3, but this is not Titus. This is not the companion of Paul on several of the other missionary journeys. This is a different man by the name of Justus, and apparently he was a Gentile who believed in the true God. He had accepted the message of the gospel. He had believed in Christ, and he opened his house to this assembly of believers in the city of Corinth. And therefore, Paul met there with whoever wanted to hear the preaching of the gospel. It says it was hard by the tabernacle. It was either right across the street or perhaps next door. We're not given the exact details of that, but it was very nearby the synagogue. And in reality, this would have attracted many of the Gentiles as well, because perhaps some of the Gentiles would have been a little bit reluctant to enter into the synagogue to hear Paul, but they were willing to go and hear the preacher Paul proclaiming the gospel message. And at the same time, those of the Jews who followed Paul out of the synagogue, who accepted his message and believed in Christ, they were no longer welcome in the synagogue either. So when they left, they were invited into Justus' house to assemble there and to hear Paul's teaching and his proclamation of the gospel message. Then it mentions the chief ruler of the synagogue. His name is Crispus. And Crispus, though he was the chief leader in that particular Jewish synagogue, unlike most of the rest of the Jews who assembled there, he heard the truth. He, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was converted. His eyes were opened and his ears were opened, and he believed. And when Paul was evicted from the synagogue, it's apparent that Crispus and his family went as well. And they went nearby. They assembled with Paul, and it says here that Crispus and his whole household were baptized. Some of our pedo-baptist friends read into that passage that that's a justification for infant baptism, but that is not what this passage says. It says that he and his whole household. He likely had other family members living with him, but being the leader of the synagogue, the chief leader of the synagogue, he was probably not a young man, and therefore, in all probability, he had older children or older relatives that were living with him. And therefore, just when it mentions that all of his household believed and were baptized, we have to accept that at face value and not read anything further into the text as far as the justification for infant baptism. But Crispus and his whole household believed, and they were baptized. This passage doesn't say that Paul baptized him, but later on in the book of Corinthians, we're told that Paul only baptized a handful of people. He probably didn't baptize the rest of Crispus's household, the many other people who believed. He only baptized Crispus and Gaius and one other family in the city of Corinth. Most of the rest of the baptizing was done either by Timothy or by several of the other ones who were appointed as the leader of the Corinthian church. So Paul's primary role was as an evangelist. He was not typically the one who baptized most of the new believers. That was done by the leaders in the local churches, who would then be the pastors and the teachers, the elders of those particular churches. So Paul continues to preach, and we're told here that many believed. But this was becoming a very dangerous time, because as the Jews who had rejected the message often brought in the secular authorities to try to muzzle Paul, that apparently was on the verge of happening here, to the point that many of the Corinthian believers were concerned for Paul's safety. In several other cases, he was smuggled out of town. In one instance, lowered over the wall in the midst of the night to escape. But as the danger increased, Paul was apparently under some pressure here to leave the city of Corinth. But as I said, this was early on in Paul's visit to Corinth. Not many people had received the word yet. Not many people had heard the gospel. So the instruction from the Lord here is for Paul to stay, to not be afraid, to fear not, and to hold not his peace, but to speak. He's thus authorized by God to continue there, to not flee. Sometimes the scripture tells us that he'll provide an avenue of escape for us in the time of great temptation or great danger. But here, the instruction from the Lord that comes to him in the night vision is to stay, to fear not, and to speak and hold not his peace. So therefore, it's the Lord's will that Paul stay, because he tells Paul that he has many people in this city. It's kind of like Elijah, when he was fearful, he thought he was the only one still remaining who believed. But the Lord came to him at that time and said, there are yet 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And here Paul is reminded that God is still at work here in the city of Corinth. He has a mission yet for Paul to accomplish, and therefore Paul should not flee, but that he should stay and preach and speak the truth. God's perspective is not always ours, and even though they had not yet come to saving faith, God knew that he had those in that city who would hear and who would believe. So Paul is encouraged to stay, and therefore to speak. He then is encouraged to not fear, and he stays for another 18 months. Paul didn't usually stay in any city for any length of time, but here he stays in the city of Corinth for 18 months and preaches and teaches, and many came to believe. Corinth had its problems. It was a pagan city. It was a polytheistic city. It was a city of much evil and much immorality, some of which even crept into the Corinthian church, as we read later on in the Epistle to the Corinthians and also in other places. But nevertheless, the city of Corinth remained a strong point for the local church for the next more than four centuries. well into the 3rd and the 4th centuries, there are historians and theologians who emerged from the church at Corinth, and therefore God maintained his presence in that city for a very long period of time. The church at Corinth, though it had its problems, remained active and remained effective for many centuries. And that's an encouragement to us as well, that even though there may be small beginnings, the Lord says, despise not the day of small things. But many times from those small beginnings, even as here in Corinth, in the one household, in the household of Crispus, the number of Corinthian believers grew and grew steadily over the next more than 400 years. So God's timing is his own, and he accomplishes all at his pace. And thus, even as Paul was encouraged to speak, to be a witness, to be a testimony to Christ in his day, so too believers in our day are encouraged to not be fearful of the culture, not to be fearful of the political correctness, not to shy away from opportunities to be the salt and the light of the earth that he has called us to be, but to speak the truth and to trust him. Paul was told that no danger would come to him, and that doesn't mean that no danger would ever come. It was within the next 8 or 9 years that Paul actually would lose his head on the Appian Way in Rome. But he was safe as long as he remained in Corinth. He was doing God's will. It's often said that Christians are invincible up to the point where God determines otherwise. And here is the case for Paul. Even though there was danger, there was opposition, there was resistance, there were those who rejected the truth, nevertheless, at that moment, for that time, Paul was safe. He was under the protective hand of Almighty God, and none of the wicked ones could hurt him at that particular time. Later on, he was called to martyrdom, and he was executed by the Romans outside the city of Rome on the Appian Way. But here, he's doing God's will, and he was encouraged to speak, to fear not, because God would not let any harm come to him at that particular time. We too should take encouragement from that, to not be fearful of the world or the culture, but to trust the Lord that all things happen according to his timetable and according to his will. Dan, would you close with hymn number 685? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding this?